Hey.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Hello.
No, wait, that's your line. Go for it.
Hi, guys.
Do I need to feed your line to you?
Hello and welcome back to another episode. My name is Lewis.
I'm Caleb.
And this is the Sidecar Coffee Podcast.
This is it.
This is it.
Feels a little lonely this time. We don't have anybody to interview.
Yeah,
but
right.
That's fine.
But it's also nice, you know.
Solo mojo.
The old-fashioned way.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way.
Last week was a really cool interview with Alex.
If you haven't checked it out, check it out.
Yeah. Going through everything in that episode, I think it's really cool to understand, like, the mind of a business owner and roaster and him going through, the way that you form relationships with producers and thought process behind certain things behind the scenes that you wouldn't think about as a consumer. So,
And also, like, not to reveal too much of the episode because you should go listen to it, but the unique position that he's in which he's working for a cafe that's selling his coffee,
but it's not
his cafe. Yeah, so, like, he gets to focus on the roasting a little more in his own brand, but then steps back from that. So it was kind of cool. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. Just last episode. And yeah.
Let's get into this sidecar right here.
Let's do this.
Staring at us, dude.
Dude, it's been looking at us for a minute, too. One day we'll drink a hot beverage on this podcast.
Maybe. Anyway, so today we're drinking. This is my, like. It's my first decaf.
No, it's not. Don't say that. That's just not true.
In like. Okay, it's my first decaf in, like, 3 years.
No. We've had decaf in leaderboard.
Oh, true. Okay. Well, I guess.
But not knowingly.
Yeah. Anyway, we're drinking a decaf from Onyx Coffee.
What is that? What I just heard? I just heard somebody say, ugh, decaf. Why would you say that? If you didn't listen to our episode with Wayne, we talked a little bit about decaf and how it's actually not bad now. Used to be, because they were using some chemicals that were not fun.
Yeah.
But now they're not. They're using natural stuff. So take it away, Lewis, with this decaf.
So it is a Colombia Isna San Antonio. Isna?
Inza.
Inza?
That's a Z.
I guess so. it is.
It is.
Now that you bring it up, it is Z-like.
Yeah, Inza San Antonio.
Yes. From Colombia. It is an EA wash and it should be tasty.
Yeah, so sugarcane decaf, baby. EA decaf standing for ethyl acetate, which is the sugarcane processing method. We talked a little bit about that with Wayne from Drinks with Wayne over on three episodes, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
I'll take it away with this. Let's see.
It is sweet. It's red.
Whoa.
But
very honey graham cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pulled my grinders at Caleb's house because we've been cooking up something recently.
Yeah.
We'll
talk about that at the end of this episode though. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And that's also one of the reasons why we have this coffee. But stay tuned. And so I used the X-Pro to grind this and I think I went a little too fine, but because I always heard like with decafs, you have to grind super, super fine. And so I was a little scared, but yeah,
bro,
Caleb's going into the milk drink now. The court.
Oh my God. Wait,
Quartato.
What's that? What's a sidecar? Oh, that's right. So a sidecar in our case is a 6 ounce milk beverage paired with that same espresso used in that milk beverage on the side to taste the effects of milk on espresso.
It's like caramel apple.
Yeah. I got like chocolate frosting. Almost like chocolate donut.
Dafnut.
Dafnut. Dafnut.
Chocolate Dafnut.
Chocolate Dafnut.
Oh, really good, though.
That's actually good.
Uh-huh.
Gimme. 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 I'll never do that again. But, I like
anyway.
It. The milk really does give it a lot more body as well.
It pulled, it was probably a little over-extracted.
That's fine. It still tastes good. I mean, it tastes like honey graham crackers. I'm not complaining.
The latte is a lot. It calms it down a lot more than the
honey grams. That's what I was thinking of. Not just honey graham crackers. Honey grams. Teddy grams. That's what I was thinking of. Those little guys. The teddy bears.
We got there. Yep.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Those things are fire. Those joints.
Them joints.
Almost. Wait, what is it? Like Scooby Snacks? Scooby Snacks.
Oh, yeah. When those came out. Yeah.
When those came out.
Well, there was a thing that they did. They had Scooby Snacks for dogs, but they were also for humans as well.
What?
Yeah. I remember. I'd have to ask my dad. It was back when we lived. It was like back in my childhood.
Graham cracker version. Your dad fed you dog treats and told you they were Scooby Snacks.
You know what? Now that you put it in perspective.
Plastic sandwich bag.
It's weird. Scooby Snacks carried him on his waist and just handed it to me when I started crying. Trying to create
you into the dog that you are today.
Yeah, I got that dog.
Anyway, so the topic of today's episode.
We talk about all the time about intimidation with getting into coffee and you guys being intimidated and how we really want to crush that barrier of intimidation with you guys. Mm-hmm. But there's another barrier of intimidation that we don't really talk about. And I guess
it's just kind of our own experiences.
Yeah.
And me and Caleb just kind of wanted to talk about how our attitudes are right now, both about to graduate college mm-hmm. and looking for jobs and something to do within the industry after we graduate, and how that is intimidating for us. I think I can speak for both of us looking into it and, you know, not really knowing where we're going to go.
Yeah, or where to look, what step to take. Like, I don't know. It's weird. So we kind of just want to touch on the fact that, like, even this far into our journey in coffee, it's still intimidating. But, like, what is it that intimidates
us? It's not scary in a way. But, like, I'm in no way, shape, or form are we trying to say, like,
I'm scared.
It never stops being intimidating. But
it's just with what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
It is a little intimidating.
And where we are right now, I guess.
Yeah.
So kind of looking at this. Within a cafe space, there's your baristas, there's your management over the baristas, there's a trainer in some places, you have roasting staff, you have a head roaster, and then probably someone over the head roaster and head bar person.
Yeah, well, then there's also, in bigger companies, you have production managers, you have wholesale managers, you have... Now, I mean, there's a lot of social media and branding and marketing positions. There's a lot of things. There are a lot of positions now in coffee that used to not be in coffee.
And so this is just in the cafe space. We can talk about importing and exporting companies.
Yeah, yeah. This is just within a coffee roasting company or just owners of cafes.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So it's we're looking at it through the perspective of seeing the coffee industry change into more of a corporate ladder, if that makes sense. Like, that's just kind of, we kind of talked a little before this episode, and that's kind of where our minds are at, seeing the coffee industry go. And it's hard. It's like, where do I go now? So let's talk about this like it's corporate world, right? There's your entry-level jobs. There's your mid-level jobs. Then there's your just like higher-level positions of like senior and director positions. So within entry-level jobs for coffee, it's your barista position. And that's really it. Like, there's really not much. I mean, unless some places have, like, specific, like, POS, or I know, like, Cat and Cloud has a concierge
position. But it's, like, it's not like you can go into roasting with no experience.
Right. You can't go into roasting with no coffee experience. Is that a good thing? I don't know.
I think you should
have an appreciation for coffee, but I don't think there should be...
At roasting, though, I feel like you have to have enough of a palate to be able to cue your own stuff and making sure that, you know, being able to taste the difference between, a five-degree temperature change, you know what I'm saying?
Or that's true. Fair.
Being able to do that, but also you could get reinforced by your team. That helps you.
But you also could be trained on whoever the head roaster is.
But regardless, I feel like you need experience. And that's kind of what we're talking about here is, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And as someone who is like, yes, you know, and I mean, honestly, even just me talking about myself, like I looking at my resume is only 1 year of working at a cafe. what big roastery or what big cafe is going to look at my resume and think that, yeah, I could go higher than an entry level barista?
Yeah. Because at this point in our coffee journeys, we're not looking for those barista positions anymore. Like, we don't, it's not that we don't still love it. Like, we very much love.
And I would absolutely like love that, but I would also enjoy like helping out with barista training, yeah, while, as well as, yeah, working on the front lines, working on
maybe front of house management.
Yeah. Working, yeah, at like development of the menu, or within like education of the entire company. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is just talking about an avenue that I would like to go down, but there's, yeah, multiple different things I would enjoy doing, because, you know, I've only worked as a barista for 1 year. I think I really enjoy being on the front lines. But you know, I feel like I also want to be doing more.
Yeah.
And what that kind of looks like and what's available, and you kind of, it feels like you have to know someone, which can be hard.
Yeah. Within any industry, you hear the term, it's not about what you know, it's who you know. But like within coffee, I really think there should be a focus on what you know. And,
but it's like, what do you do? Like, being, you have, yeah, to take a test. It's right, like, how do you portray that? And not like a, oh, I know a lot and I have, yeah, a lot of experience. Yeah.
Well, 'cause there's also really no way to showcase your knowledge without certifications.
Yeah. Or like just, yeah, it's kind of
and
hard.
And that's also, I guess, like another thing that's super intimidating is the cost of investing in yourself as a coffee professional.
Yeah, it's like, are you assuming, like, there's a lot you can do at home within the world of
there's
coffee.
There's a lot. There's especially a lot now, especially post-COVID. Yes.
Especially now. And that, you know, even just what you can kind of experiment with by yourself and developing and investing in yourself, how does that kind of transition into getting a job at a cafe, and how are you able to kind of portray that? And I guess maybe like taking that entry level position and then having management realize like, oh, like this person is not an entry level employee that, you know, they know more than,
yeah.
And so that is like, it feels like maybe it could be like a waste of time, but I don't, it's kind of a hard position to be in for us, but
yeah, it's also hard to have so much knowledge, so much experience. What?
Yeah, it's so hard for me to
It's hard to have the experience that we have, the knowledge that we've gained over time, and within how hard that we've worked for that knowledge too, to then go move somewhere and look at entry level barista jobs, because we want more.
But also at the same time, how much do we know? So you could argue the other way.
I'm not saying that. Look, we're always in a state of pushing ourselves to learn more at all times. That's just what being passionate about anything does for you. You know, just being passionate, you're always trying to consume more knowledge about the topic. But what I'm saying is, at what point are you allowed to not look at the barista position? You know, like when you've worked as a home barista, or not worked, but you've worked for your
you've
case.
Been
you,
a
you
home
worked,
barista.
You've been a home
years.
Barista for 4 years now. You had some cafe experience, but now you haven't had much cafe experience now because you had to focus on track. That was a huge thing for you. Do you still look at barista positions in the future and say, oh yeah, I'm fine being paid minimum wage with the knowledge that I have, you know?
I don't know. It's hard to, and you know, like speaking for yourself and I guess vouching for yourself is kind of what you need to focus on. But I also don't want to seem like, oh, I know, you know, I'm above.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Which in no way, shape, or form, you know, I would love to work as a barista. But I also feel like I could do more.
I am not dogging on being a barista. I think being a barista is great. But let's put this into a different industry. You're leaving a job as, I don't know, senior marketing manager, right? and you've done that for 4 years. You have that like giant knowledge of the of marketing and how to market a company, and you think that you're very valuable in that knowledge. How do you go to other do you look at other lower level jobs, or are you staying on that senior level trying to find another senior level job? You're probably going to try to look for other senior level jobs. So working in coffee, having all the experience that we do have, and like, I don't want it to seem like, oh, I have all this knowledge, I'm better than you. That's not the attitude at all. Never have I ever thought I was better than anyone at coffee or anything. So at what point moving out? So, and I guess let me explain my thought process. So leaving after I graduate, we'll be moving away. I don't know if I want to look for barista jobs, just a entry-level barista job, having 2 years cafe management experience, having a year and a half of roasting experience, having experience as a production and wholesale manager. It's like that right there. It's like, how do I take that and then just say...
And it is hard with the coffee industry because I feel like there is not a lot of open positions that are out there, which is hard because it's not like every cafe is looking for a roaster. It's like, obviously... They open with a roaster, and that roaster is going to stay with them.
Yeah, and that's great. Like, I'm all for companies having...
But that's hard. That's hard.
Yeah, I'm all for people having lifelong careers in coffee.
That's why it's intimidating almost, because it's like, if you're moving or wanting to get a new job somewhere...
And there's no open positions.
Exactly. What do you do?
What do you do? Do you go back down to... Not go back down. That's not the terminology I want to use. That's not the dialogue. Do I... go back to being barista and that's it? Or it's like, I don't know. It's just, what do you do? And I think also this comes with the fact that in the industry right now, there's not a lot of our generation. Let's just take a look at Expo this past weekend. The people that we follow and that are,
me and Caleb did not go to Expo.
We did not go to Expo, no. I'm looking through social media at Expo, seeing all these people that were there, the people that we follow, and the people that have big followings, and the people that were doing workshops.
Big names in coffee.
Big names in coffee. Big people in coffee.
Industry leaders.
They're not in our generation. They're older. They're probably 30 and above, right? And that's not a bad thing. It's great for them. A lot of these people had jobs prior to being in coffee and had, I guess, found coffee later in life than we did. What do we do as people that found coffee really early and only want to pursue coffee?
Yeah. It's like, it feels like people
like
going,
I'm not
going
to go work for a giant tech company, a lot of money and then jump into coffee. Like,
It feels hard to dive into without external assets you had prior to getting into it.
That.
In a way. Because it's hard, you know, even just speaking about myself right now. So in a cafe, the only thing that you cannot, you know, like in general, really the only thing you can't do, the difference between a cafe and your house is serving people. But you can still do that at your home.
Yeah.
And the quality of machines you're working with.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Usually it's just equipment.
Realistically, as a barista.
Equipment, and you're doing it either for a different company or you're doing it for money. But you can do that at home too.
It's like ability to work under stress and with a team. Obviously, that's any job. Specifically in the coffee industry, like maintaining service. But... you know, that's really the only thing that you're missing out on, that like I'm saying you can still get experience at home, but you know, being me and Caleb,
how do you advocate for that though?
Yes.
How do you walk into an interview and say, I have all this experience at home, when sitting on the other side of the table as someone who's interviewed?
But
people,
it's hard too, because you could also say, you know, you could say that, you know, I have like 3 years of experience on a DeLonghi.
Oh,
it's like, okay, well,
it's like, yeah, I've been brewing French press for the past 10 years.
But, you know, there's a line. There's a line.
And it's like, okay, so do you walk in and go, this is my setup. This is every piece of equipment that I own. This
but
is
how I feel like you can't do that.
Exactly. So then how is the question?
Yeah.
How do you showcase your experience that is not experience that can be put on a resume? Because you can't just say brewed coffee at home for 4 years on a resume. And here's my long list of equipment and how much I paid for it.
And that's another thing, too. It's like being young in coffee and, you know, this is the only thing that you want to do. How do I, you know, continue to upgrade him? Like, even just me right now, I'm using Caleb's old Breville. Didn't pay for it. That's how I get espresso right now. That's getting to the end of its road.
Yeah.
I'm kind of done with that.
You're about to upgrade, though.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a scary thing. You know, me upgrading.
Yeah.
I'm looking at machines. It's like they're decent $4,000.
Yeah.
The Lillet Bianca is $3,000.
Yeah.
And you know, I could go to a Rocket or to an Escasso, but you know, those are still $2,000, and if I only pay a thousand more dollars for a dual broiler, and then I can be able to do maybe coffee pop-ups or brew coffee for more people and not be scared about it, or you know, have that extra security and knowing I'm investing in something that I can have for longer. And that's hard because it's like, why would I anything? Well, it's also a lot of money. $2,000 is a lot of money, but why not pay $1,000 more to have something for a little bit longer? That's a little bit higher quality.
Not even a little bit longer, forever. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, also to wrap up our other topic, I guess what we're saying is we don't know the answer. We're just saying we want to bring up the question of
how do you do that?
Climbing the ladder and coffee. And that's something to think about, right? And that's something that we're going to cook on for a while and think about, and hopefully we find the answer to it. But we just wanted to bring it up in this episode.
And I think it becomes, and here's my answer.
Okay.
It's your personal brand. How do you brand yourself? How do you market yourself? And, you know, whether that's starting
social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether that's starting a coffee page and posting on that and having that on your resume.
And then that's your showcase
and
of knowledge.
That's your showcase of knowledge. Or, you know.
Or buying two microphones and making a podcast. I don't know who would do that, but that sounds like a horrible idea. But you could.
You know, that's kind of where we've gone with this. You know, putting your name out there and making sure that doing everything in your power to kind of to push yourself and of connections, because at the end of the day, that's how you're going to get
and
jobs.
I guess I'll share like my personal like thing that I'm kind of dealing with is the fact that so recently took a trip to New York, got to visit some really cool people that I want to be in their positions. How do I get there? And I kind of asked around about like, okay, what's the next step? Where do I go? And there wasn't really a for sure answer. One thing I heard was becoming a Q grader. That's expensive. That's really expensive. It's $2,000 minus travel, and then also the fact that you're missing 6 days, a week total, probably for extra travel time of work to go do these courses to then take this test to then get certified as a Q grader. And it's just like, man, like personal investment within the coffee industry is a lot of money. And then this is also going to take us into where personal investment is also, I think buying equipment for your home is another personal investment, especially with us, where we're not only buying equipment just to buy equipment and have fancy espresso machines. We're doing it because we want to delve into espresso, delve into filter coffee, the science behind it all within
and
our
like
homes.
Actually being able to do high quality, like being able to have a pre-infusion, being able to
following
pressure
all the
profile.
Yeah, industry trends.
Yeah, industry trends and understanding that, you know, and when you get into a cafe, you'll probably have a machine that will be able to do that. And understanding that and having experience working with that. And not only, you know, understanding that aspect of coffee, I think is very important and getting experience with that. And there's not really a way, depending on the cafe that you live next to, doing it at home might be the only option to ever experience that.
That's very true. In some smaller towns, there's just cafes that are more towards the commercial side. You know, they're buying coffee from Java Mojo or something like that. I don't know if that's a real company, but that's where my brain goes. Like, okay, that type of coffee that's over roasted, or heaven forbid, they're serving flavored coffees and their machines are old school. They don't have pressure or profiling on it or flow rate control or all these fun things that we like to play around with in specialty world. So it's like, do you go with buying a $4,000 Lillet Bianca V3, or do you just not get to experience that? So, and that brings up a whole nother issue of the affordability of these,
which
these
everything
machines.
Everything is warranted, but that doesn't mean it's not necessarily intimidating.
Yeah, it's intimidating, and we can complain about it. Like, why not? You know, it's expensive stuff. I mean, you take a look at our episode with Pepe talking about roasters being $20,000. It's a drum that spins with flame under. Wow. You can do that on a grill.
Yeah.
Like, you can literally convert a grill into a coffee roaster if you wanted to. But so for, I mean, he verbatim said hunk of metal with a little bit of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it.
Or
for $20,000.
You know, or you could get a Akawa, which is like damn near 2000, and it's a fucking popcorn machine.
It literally, that's exactly what he said. And it's like, man, like this equipment is insanely expensive. And I don't know. There's a lot of I don't know.
That's what's kind of intimidating. That's what we're talking about. That's kind of what me and Caleb are just speaking. What kind of goes through our brains sometimes.
Yeah. Where do I go? What do I do?
And you know, not saying that. I think it's okay to feel like this, but it's not, you know.
And within any industry too, I think it's okay to have some complaints about the industry that you work in. And some of the complaints are that coffee equipment is incredibly expensive.
And
sometimes
I
don't think it's warranted.
Yeah. And speaking about this, Caleb just did a pretty big purchase with Mischief.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say huge.
I mean, not I big. Mean, you purchased like three different things.
Yeah, I purchased a new scale, a new hand grinder, and a portafilter basket. But the reason why I went with Mischief was because, I'll call them out, I didn't want to go with Commandante. Mischief, their whole thing right now is that they have a grinder that is an exact replica of the Commandante C40 hand grinder, and it's the same materials, same exact design, for a fraction of the price. And that's Mischief's whole thing. The scale that I bought is also an exact replica of the Akaya Lunar, and it was only $40, and the Akaya Lunar is $250, and it's a scale. So, and then the Commandante C40, really with that, you're paying for the brand. And I mean, not too much hate towards Commandante. They're great. And I get it. Like, they're, you know, handmade and whatnot. And they were the first to do it. They were the first to come up with that design. I get it. But $340 for a grinder, for a hand grinder, is nuts to me. Whereas the one that I got is an exact replica, exact same materials used, same exact quality of build for $70. I mean, come on. Like, you can't beat it. And so, like, there – luckily, I guess there
are – Even just the filter basket, like – The filter basket. Schwartz Design filter baskets are $200.
Or Weber Workshops.
Not even for an entire Weber Workshops.
Mischief just released
a Unifilter. The Unifilter.
Replica.
Okay, the Unibasket. The Unibasket is only $100, $90.
That's still a little basket that goes into your portafilter.
This is true, but it's not $200 as like the Schwartz Design or.
That's true.
And talking about your $20, I guess.
I paid
okay,
$20 for
so
it, yeah.
So me and Caleb don't have the experience on these, I guess, like types of baskets and stuff to say like the materials and how they're made aren't warranted to the price, but.
But I mean, you look at it. It's a little metal.
It's basically hard.
A metal. Why did I just forget the what is it? The things you put like ketchup into on the side of a on the side of your dish at like a restaurant.
Side?
It comes in a ramekin. They look like metal ramekins with holes in the bottom, and that's it, right? So it's like.
But it's like laser edge designed.
Laser edge designed
by
and
Superman's eyeballs himself.
to be exactly uniform for precision brewing.
I don't know. We're just just asking questions.
And,
We're just asking questions and kind of complaining a little bit because, you know, where we're at right now.
Well, we're also fully fully believe in holding the industry accountable.
Yeah, and we're in our mid game right now. All right, we're in our mid game, and
yeah, dude, we're so mid.
Going to the higher tier stuff is scary, but it's like I also want to experience what the industry is talking about right now.
I also want
to
make it
whether or not that's a marketing ploy by the social media gods and does and all marketing between companies and wanting you to buy
their
things.
I also want to make it very clear that we are grateful for where we're at. I'm very grateful to have the equipment that I do have. I'm very grateful for the job I have. I'm very grateful for the experience that I gained
absolutely.
In coffee.
But it's like someone getting into espresso. All right, well, there's not really a way for you to get into espresso without spending $600. So there's that.
Yeah, but for the people that have, for the people like us that have already spent $600 equipment, now the next jump is up in 3,000, 4,000 land, and that's a lot. And it's like, why? For a few more bells and whistles that aren't even really bells and whistles, like they should have came on the lower end machines, you know? I don't know. We're just
there's that.
We just speaking.
There's that. Just thoughts.
Just thoughts. We're just food for thought.
So where we kind of want to see this kind of go is just making things more accessible. And, you know, that's our goal.
Yeah,
helping
and then
you
that
guys
also,
with knowledge, but also like
which also brings us into fourth wave. Now, what is that? Coffee industry has been broken down, and the history of the coffee industry has been broken down into a three wave system. So the first wave being pre Starbucks, anything before. Second wave is basically when Starbucks was founded, and the idea of these fast paced.
Latte,
cafes,
beverage, people caring about not just drinking that tar muck.
Yes.
Random.
Third
coffee.
Wave is where we're at right now, where it's specialty coffee shops. It's places like Onyx.
Caring about sustainability.
Like
caring about.
Say, caring about sustainability, traceability, and like full transparency. And just caring about from what happens from crop.
Being
to
interested
crop.
To you, yeah.
Yeah. And so. Fourth wave. Now, some people do say that we're currently in fourth wave because some people define fourth wave as being post-COVID, where people started doing more stuff at home. I don't know if I fully agree with that. I don't think we're in fourth wave. I think because third wave's mission is education and transparency behind the coffee industry, I think learning how to brew coffee at home and teaching how to brew just like you're in a cafe at home falls under that category of third wave. That's just my thought process. But when do we get into fourth wave? I think we're on the verge. I think we're almost there. I don't know what it looks like, but I just hope that the intimidation goes down.
I think it's going to be, there might be a line between, you know, and what's cool with coffee is that people are doing more. They're asking more questions. They're figuring out how to extract better coffee. You know, you look at Lance's videos recently and the stuff he's doing is really, really cool. You know, talking about espresso extraction, talking about are filter baskets even worth it, talking about puck prep and how important that is. And this is all things that are scary initially getting in, because it's like, what even are all these steps that go into coffee making? And I don't even want to go into it because there's so many different variables that are so scary. But, you know, going back into that, it's like figuring what's worth investing in and figuring out what is going to kind of help you build your own. You know, and going back, circling back to everything we've talked about this episode, like having education and actual facts stated towards things that you can feel good about investing in for yourself and helping you gain more knowledge for yourself and being a home barista and stepping further into this industry, if that is what you want to do. But I think with the fourth wave, you'll see more education, you'll see more closer relationships with farmers. I hope I hope that's the case. I hope we'll see, you know, understanding the industry as a whole, getting more direct trade with farmers.
I
would like to see like buzzwords go away. Like,
yeah.
Different, you know, I don't know. Coffee's only getting bigger. You're only going to get more and more people trying to get into this industry and make money and be that business and not the coffee side of it. So
I hope Kopi Luwak really goes away. I really hope that just stops.
Every single time. You like coffee? You ever had any of that?
You ever had Kopi Luwak? I paid $200 for it, and so I know everything. Okay, bud.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Anyway, Cape Girardeau. There
Poop
it is.
Coffee.
Anytime you say
Missouri,
you like coffee.
Oh, well,
people ask
Kopi
you
Luwak?
About the poop coffee.
Yeah, poop coffee. Anyways, but also I really hope we see more farmers roasting their own coffee, because that's something that Pepe is just now starting to do. But he's not selling it. Well, no, he's Instinto.
Yeah.
So he is. Sorry, I'll backtrack. So he is selling
anyway,
it, which is great. I hope
really
more
cool
farmers
see.
Are able to do that. Yeah. I hope that they're able to get more equipment to farms like roasters. It's hard because the resources at the farms just aren't always there, and really that does suck. But I really hope more farmers get to experience coffee like we do, and maybe that's fourth wave. Maybe it's really going to the beginning of the supply chain and making it full circle.
I would like to see
the beginning and the end of the supply chain, having farmers experience coffee like we've been so privileged to be able to.
Yeah, I think I would also like to see, as a, you know, being more inviting to people getting into coffee, you know, and with that, more education and more talking about all aspects of the industry, you know, getting new people into it and not having, you know, showing people the world of coffee on your on your La Marzocco or Slayer single group head,
or even
your with your EG1 with your
like, you know, literally just
what
anything.
What I'm saying is that you as someone who wants to get, that's not really where I'm going.
Where are you going?
I'm saying wanting to see coffee less intimidating, because I feel like it could go in that direction. You know, you get on TikTok or social media now, and the people who are making content, who I've been, you know, whether or not they spend the money on it or not, they have this setup of six different distribution tools that are all over $50. You see three different grinders. You see a $10,000 espresso machine. You see all of these things, which you don't necessarily need. And I feel like I would like to see that, less of that.
So.
But it's like
going back to our roots, essentially.
Yeah, but I'm saying
really,
like,
really, really narrowing down and putting away the stuff that we don't need.
Well. Because I'm not going to say, like, you know, all of those things are helpful and they do help you extract coffee better. However,
sure,
bringing people into coffee, I feel like that's hard to show them.
It's hard to show a $300.
Yeah, and it's like also
tool.
It's like you're getting paid to market all of those products. And how do you show that transparency as an influencer? I would like to see that. Boom. There it is. Took me a while to get there, but we're there.
We're here, man.
Transparency as a
influencer.
As an influencer.
I like that. I'm down for that. Can't argue with that. Also, just like using your platform to break down all the intimidation. Like, stop using your platform as a way to show off all your coffee equipment.
Yeah, let me flip my fellow Atmos around.
Oh, no. who's that?
No shade thrown.
But anyways, yeah, just welcoming people into coffee and doing it with open arms, which is going to lead us into what we're doing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I would like to think, though. My arms are wide open. Yeah. Come on.
So
I've been holding them up this whole time, dude.
So Sidecar Podcast is officially hosting a coffee pop-up at Spectrum Record Lounge here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
G, baby.
Cape G. God, we love it here. So yeah, me and Lewis will be bringing out our equipment, doing a whole setup, full coffee menu, some pastry options, and really just showcasing what specialty coffee is in our eyes, and trying to break down the walls of intimidation and really making it approachable. And we hope to do more pop-ups in the future. We're going to do this one and just see what happens. We're very excited to announce something like this. It's very cool. And Spectrum Record Lounge, shout out, and thank you to Travis and Parker for allowing us to do
this. We will
be
doing a podcast episode with them there.
Yeah.
So look forward to hearing their stories and about Travis and Parker and a little bit about, you know, Cape Girardeau and opening a business here. But yeah, it's gonna be dope. Me and Caleb
be
have
sick.
Been.
I'm very excited. Yeah,
our
the
butts
menu's
off.
Tight.
So yeah, we'll most definitely be posting about it on Sidecar. And if you're in the Cape Girardeau area or even the St. Louis area, we would love to serve you guys coffee.
Yeah.
And yeah, stay posted for the menu. We worked really hard. We're using different coffees from roasters that we really enjoy.
All in the U.S. We do enjoy a lot of roasters outside of the U.S., but we want to showcase people in the U.S. because these people that we're going to be serving,
yeah.
we just want to say, hey, this was done like two states over. That's all it is. So it's just going to be so fun. Like, we're just showcasing specialty coffee through our eyes.
Not as we're trying to say, like, F the foreign roasters.
No,
but no one knows it better than those USA roasters.
US
made,
baby. What? No. That is not what I meant.
Nordic
I'm
roast, too? Also,
that's
shipping costs
meant.
From anywhere out of the United
that
States were
it.
Also very expensive.
Very, very
so,
expensive. But anyways, going back to it, we're going to be serving coffee. We're going to be having a great time. We're going to be spinning records with Travis and Parker. It's going to be super cool.
So if you're
within a 100-mile radius, I would say, come hang out. It's fun. It's going to be super fun. We'll make it worth the trip, I promise. You'll get to go home with a sticker. Yay.
Sticker. That's worth,
honestly. All right. Well, hopefully from this episode, I guess the message I wanted.
It's more just like thought provoking.
Yeah.
Bringing
just food
you
for thought.
Through our minds. And
this is where we're at in our current moment of our journey through coffee. And this is what goes through our heads. That's just what we wanted to share with this one.
There it is. And also, yeah, stay tuned for the pop-up. It's going to be sick.
Yeah, we're going to be posting lots of content on that.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think we will. We have to. There's no way we don't.
We will. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yes!
All right. That's it for this
episode.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys
for if you stayed this long. We appreciate you guys. That's all.
Stay tuned. Come to the pop-up.
Yep, come
Please,
to the pop-up.
Please, favor. Better see you there.
Better happen!
I better see you walk through that door. Please stop.
Stop it!